Blog Talk Radio.
And now, live from New York City and Jacksonville, Florida, it's the Mike Boyle Show on www.blogtalkradio.com. If you want to be part of the show, call 917-889-8889. And here's Mike.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. Marco, welcome.
Thank you.
You're so thrilled to be here. Guys,
happy to
I'm
be
so
here.
Happy. I'm so happy. Tonight, we have one of my favorite ladies, Mark, Sally Mullins. I mean, you don't know who our guest is?
Is she related to Moon Mullins?
I don't think she's related to Moon Mullins, but we'll go ahead and ask her.
I bet you and I are the only people in either New York or Florida who remember who Moon Mullins is.
I do not know who Moon Mullins is, Marco.
Oh, you know, Moon Mullins was a cartoon character. You know, when they used to have the cartoon series in the newspaper, you'd read it every day. Moon Mullins was kind of a goofy guy. And I vaguely remember him, but I remember the name Moon Mullins. And I'm going to look it up as we talk and find out a little bit about Moon Mullins.
We really don't need to know about Moon Mullins, dude. Moon Mullins is not on the show tonight.
Maybe she knows who it is. Ask her if she knows.
No. We're not asking her about Moon Mullins.
Why not? All
right,
fine.
Listen, I want to thank everybody who's been watching Rotten Apple, the cartoon.
You're welcome.
KGB told me that we are trying to actually calm down the viewership a little bit. There was some fear that YouTube was going to think that it was some sort of fake channel or something, because there was too many views at one point, so he stopped pushing advertising or whatever. I don't know what he was talking about. Because when a channel's that new and it gets a million views too quick or something, I don't know. So anyway.
Well, you know, it's a very, very funny show. It's a very, very obviously popular show. And, you know, the people who do the voices are phenomenal.
You think so? That's Marco does the voice of Tyrone.
He does
the voice of Julian.
By the way, Mike, this is Julian, and I just wanted to let you know that I want to thank you very much because, as you know, I'm also Mr. Broadway, and I started my career on this very show, the Mike Boyle radio program, and I was doing little reviews for theater and gay events all over the world, and now I'm Julian on the cartoon. It's wonderful.
Isn't that wonderful?
Thank
you, Julian. No, let me tell you, it's so funny because our dear friend Arlene Ramirez was doing the voice of Isabel for a while.
Right.
And of course, Isabel was a New York City comedian that I was friendly with. And something happened where she moved herself to Puerto Rico. And she was doing the voice from Puerto Rico. You know, with today's technology, right, you can record your voice wherever and email it her. So she was in Puerto Rico during that storm, and obviously she really can't do the voice anymore. So
did you get the email from her, or did you see the post? Today or yesterday? She sent it to me anyway, and she said that she's back in her house, wherever that is. And I don't know the town. And she says she's starting to get occasional electricity. And contrary to popular belief, the water has been delivered by FEMA, and she has water to drink now, too.
Oh, that's awesome.
Excuse me.
Oh, bless you.
Thank you.
So, in any event, so she couldn't really do her part anymore, And honestly, I thought she was a very funny comedian. If you remember the old days of the Mike Boyle Show before we went on our lengthy hiatus, because I was back in Florida taking care of my kids for a while. But she used to call into the old show a lot, and she was funny.
Great.
A funny woman. I thought she would be a natural for Isabel, but I think she got like stage fright when she went to do her lines. And I was constantly like, "You're so funny, Arlene." And she constantly, felt to me like she was reading when she was doing her lines. So, but the funny thing happened, like all of a sudden the storm hit and I didn't
Which in and of itself is not funny, but yes.
No. But I was like, what am I going to do? You know, how am I going to get these lines done? You know? And so Isabel is really kind of modeled after my ex-wife, who was from Central America.
Correct.
And, you know, just a nasty little Spanish woman that doesn't like Mikey. So out of desperation, we had a couple episodes written and we couldn't get through to Arlene. I sort of knew she was okay because, I mean, God forbid, the death toll was like 12 people. I was like, you know, I'm sure she's not one of the 12 people, God forbid. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I mean, you know, but I still, we couldn't get her on the phone or whatever. So, I mean, I didn't know what to do. I couldn't get poor Arlene on the phone. And but I had a couple episodes written and I couldn't get my Spanish girl's voice done. So, of course, you know, Isabel is a nasty little Spanish woman, doesn't like Mikey. And I'm like, well, who could do this? Well, of course, my ex-wife. There is a very nasty Spanish woman doesn't like Mikey, right? And she was actually the inspiration for the character, Isabel. So I called her up and I'm like, you know, Nellie, I need somebody to read these lines. Do you want to read them? And I never thought that she would cooperate. But, you know, she's a natural actress. And, Mark, she read the lines, and I was thrilled. I mean, she sounded – it was exactly – I mean, she is Isabel. Would you agree?
Well, I mean, she is Isabel. It's like as though Kramer, the real Kramer on Seinfeld, played himself, although Michael Richards did a great job. But, you know, that's what it was.
Well,
that's what it is. She's the real – yeah.
I sent her the lines for our episode yesterday, Mark, and she recorded them and emailed them back to me. And she's, I'll tell you the truth, I love my ex-wife. She gave me two children. And so I love her and I always will. And I have two sons with this woman. How can you not love the good woman? But okay, so whatever. She throw a knife at me, she was look at me, but I love her. So I mean
Why does that happen to you with people in your family that you
I don't
get
know.
People
I
attacking you with knives
blood.
Constantly?
You know, my family are Italian. The women throw knives, and the
she's Spanish, so it's got to bridge the racial gap here.
Well, let me tell you something. I think like the first time she got mad at me, she told me, you know, in my country, Lorena Bobbitt is a hero. And, you know, like, I think most men would have ran, like, at that moment, but I was used to getting stabbed, you know what I mean? So I was like, oh, all right.
You were used to it.
Yeah, my mom stabbed me three times growing up. It's like, oh, all right, you're going to stab me? That's love to me. But anyway.
So in your house, when you were a kid and somebody used the phrase, let's take a stab at it, it wasn't a euphemism.
Yeah, it was generally me they were stabbing at. But anyway. Right. So anyway, she sent me the fucking lines, Mark, and I just smiled from ear to ear. I was like, fuck. So, you know, when you watch the cartoons, guys, you got to realize the first, I guess, 15, 16 episodes, I don't love the voices. Mark does great. Julian's voice is great. Tyrone's voice is great. But from now on, I think Isabel's voice is going to be awesome. So thanks for watching the cartoon. We have over 1 million views so far, Mark. I'm very excited.
I am shocked.
Yeah.
I would look at it, and my friend Derek, when he saw it, he was starting to say he was starting to try to look at the you know, apartments that I could buy for him. And I said, just hold off. It's not there yet, okay? I have 1 million views is not. I cannot buy you.
Yeah, it's like
apartment.
It's like $4. But But the truth is that we're very happy with the progress. So thank you, everybody that is watching. Okay, so let's get back to our beautiful guest that's coming on tonight. So Sally Mullins, I want you guys to understand, this is a very gifted comedian. We're gonna pull her on in a minute. She's waiting to come on. You guys got to check this woman out. She's not on Facebook. Never been on Facebook.
She
made the decision. Yeah. She's on Instagram. She's on Twitter, and she does stuff on YouTube. She's got some stuff going on. I'm gonna let her explain it all to you. She was voted the funniest comic in LA in 2015. I just love her.
That's pretty good.
Be around. Yeah, she's awesome. Mark, why don't you shut up while I'm talking to her for a couple minutes?
Right.
Okay? So
I'll take a nap.
Okay, hold on a minute. Hi, Sally.
Oh, hey, what's up? I was running. I felt so bad. I was running, and I kind of tweaked my ankle, so I had to walk it off. So I was like, oh, shit, I hope I get – oh, sorry, I can swear, right? Right?
You can say whatever you want,
my love. Okay, cool. Yeah, so I was happy to come on, and then I listened to you guys talking a little bit. That sounds like good things are going on for you.
Yeah, no, we do this little cartoon thing, and it's kind of cool. Rotten Apple, so I'll send you a link. Start putting people on Twitter. But yeah, how are you?
I am great. I've been super busy, but I just kind of wrapped a huge project. But yeah, I've been like good busy and having a lot of fun living in the West Valley of Southern California.
You know, I never knew. I did a tiny little pre-interview with you today. I never knew that you grew up mostly in Florida. I just pictured you, LA woman. You're so natural out there. How long have you been in Los Angeles?
I have been in Los Angeles for 22 years, I believe. Yeah, I came out here like the week of the OJ verdict, the first one, the not guilty one. And that's when I first moved to, I was kind of living in like West LA, like Olympic, Pico, La Cienega, Sherbourne was the street. And I moved to the Valley probably like 3 or 4 years. So I've been in the Valley for like 18 years.
That is so awesome. Now, if you guys have to check her out, I mean, she's so gorgeous. And I have a crush on you, I have to tell you. I'm not a stalker, Sally, but I have a crush on you. Because who wouldn't have a crush on you? Come on, so pretty. And Mark, this is the woman, when I was out there, I appeared once at the Ice House. And Sally
I know, you told me about that, right.
Stage. Yeah, so she brought me up on stage. I gave her a little tiny bit of shit, but she was good about it because there was a really good-looking guy on before me, like a young kid, and she was praising his eyebrows, and my eyebrows were fucking perfect. She didn't say a word about my eyebrows, and I just took my glass off. Like, what about my fucking eyebrows or something like that? And everybody laughed.
So I got a huge, you got a huge laugh. I remember. I think like that was a really good way to work off it, you know.
Yeah. I did get a big laugh, and I remember in the tape. You could hear you laughing, which I really appreciated.
Yeah, I love hosting. That's like one thing that really helped me survive in comedy somewhat, you know, financially. I mean, it's not like you can make a lot of money hosting, but at least you can make some money. And it doesn't cost you money to do comedy in L.A. because, as you know, there are very few paying comedy gigs in L.A.
In New York either.
Really?
They don't pay New York either.
I'm in New York, dear, and it's the same way here.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people, like, I've been doing comedy since, like, 1998, I guess. I started when I was 30. I just turned 49. So a lot of people in, like, the late 90s, you know, Y2K or whatever, they're like, don't host. It's a liability. Industry won't see you as a talent. You know, they'll just see you as a party starter kind of thing. And then I was like, well, I need to get stage time, and I don't want to keep bugging my friends to come see me. I'm not, like, really social in that way, you know? I'm British. So, you know, I'm the kind of person who's like, hey, I have a show, but it's up to you, you know? So I couldn't really do, like, the California – I don't know how it is in New York, but the Bringer Show circuit.
Yeah, it's identical.
It's the same. It's the same, really. I mean, because one thing people try to say is they try to say in New York that if you do your material at an open mic, everyone's paying attention. Nobody's in their notes. Nobody's in their phones. Is that true?
Well, I'll tell you what. New York, the only thing I really loved about doing comedy in New York is I only met two comedians the whole time I was in New York that were jealous of me being funny. And like, they're very cool. It's like, so you could be really funny in New York and everybody's cool that you're funny, you know, like everywhere else I performed, people were pissed off that I was funny. And, you know, comics could be jerk offs like that. So New York, I didn't really get any of that. Like we used to have I started in Jacksonville because it's where I was living when I decided I was going to do comedy.
Right.
You know, and we used to go out, we used to do shows, and there was this gay kid, and I loved the kid. He was actually, Colin was his name. He was a nice kid, but he'd go on, and I'd go on before him, and I would joke that the mic still smelled like cum, right? and it was funny, and everybody would laugh, but then I'd get off the stage, and everybody would go, all the fucking comics down here would be like, you're disgusting, and Andrew Dice Clay fucking can't work anymore, and you think you're Andrew Dice Clay? And I would be like, jerk off. Did you see everybody in the audience laughing? Like, what are you people, fucking retarded?
Yeah, exactly. It's comedy, you know?
Yeah. But anyway, so I went, when I was in New York, I was going on at the, I think it was the New York Comedy Club one night, and they come in the green room, and they go, look, we got to cut 5 minutes from here. I go, why? And Thomas Dale at the time was really getting big, and he had come out. You probably know him. He's in L.A. now. Do you know Thomas?
No.
He came out to work for Chelsea Handler, and he came out to do the Chelsea Leighton show. So,
yeah, I've definitely heard of him, yeah. Thomas Dale. Okay, I think I knew who that is.
Well, he comes out, Sally, and he goes on before me, and his whole set was about being gay. He's like, oh, I love Italian guys. They're so beautiful. And you look at them, and their eyebrows are perfect, and they're so. And you look at them, and then they open their mouths, and you're like, ew. Because you look at them, and you're like, and they're like, what are you looking at? And he's like, I'm looking at you. I want to suck your dick. What's wrong with that? So, okay. so the audience loved him, and he's a very talented guy. So I went out right after him, and I went, listen to Thomas Dale. Wasn't he great? And he's like, yeah. And I went, oh. Mike still smells like cum, though. Jesus Christ, Tommy. You know, like little fucking scope, motherfucker. We all got to use this thing. And everybody laughed. And then I got off the stage, and I thought, like, he was going to get pissed off at me. And I told him, I said, Thomas, I'm sorry, brother. It was just like a little homage to your act. And he fucking loved it. He goes, I loved it. You're fucking
of course. Funny. Of course.
And I said, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Because in Jacksonville, they would have killed me. And, you know, I remember even when I got off the stage in Pasadena, you came up to me and went, you have such a unique talent. You remember? Because I remember every word you said because you're so beautiful. You said you have such a unique talent.
Well, I'm glad it made an impression, but, yeah, I used to really drink at those shows. I just remember thinking you were cool, though.
No, because you said you could say shit to people and don't get mad at you. But, Sally, I want to talk more about you now. So you're on Instagram, Sally Mullins, 818.
Yeah, 818. That's funny that you called it the 818. Sometimes people from New York do that. They call it the 818. Yeah, Sally Mullins, 818. It's the Valley. You know, it's the Valley area code.
And you're doing stuff on YouTube. You have, like, a little show.
Right. It's some of it is on YouTube, and you can definitely find it on there to some degree, but it's mainly on this network on Saturday nights called Dronebox, dronebox.com, and that's a studio out of Boyle Heights, and they have, like, a lot of alternative comedy programming on there. It's really cool. And they have a lot of really just weird shit on there, too, like Satanists and just some weird crap. But mine is like a sex comedy talk show. On Saturday
Ooh.
Night called Hello Cougar. Yeah, it's cool. It's really weird.
Yeah.
It's not really a show that I don't think I could do anywhere else but Drone
Box. Drone.
Yeah. Correct. You got it right. Yes, a lot of people say it's a drone. It's Drome. Drome Box. Yes.
D-R-O-M?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You said it, Mark. You fucker. Shut your mouth when I'm talking to her. So are you still working all the time at the Comedy Store and the Ice House? And are you still doing
I'm
that?
I'm at Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's all right, baby. I remember you were every night in those places. Are you still there?
Yeah, I am every Wednesday at the store, every Friday at the store. I haven't been to the Ice House in ages because Bobby stopped doing her show there. So I was working for her, for Bobby Oliver. And then I run an open mic every Monday at the Pig and Whistle. And that's a totally cool open mic. So that's pretty well known. They say it's like one of the best mics in town. It's pretty supportive. I mean, for an open mic, it's supportive. And then, Tuesday and Thursday, fuck it, those are my nights off. And Saturday, I have Hella Cougar. So Hella Cougar is like a live broadcast. It's not a podcast. It's, a live streaming show on a set. And that's really cool. That show is really unique. I like that I'm bringing that show, because it's twisted. But yeah, I'm pretty busy. I'm pretty busy. I have a weird life, but active.
So are you hooked up? Are you in a relationship? Are you single or what's going on with you?
Oh, I am single. Well, I mean, I'm married so my ex-boyfriend could get his green card, but that's almost a 10-year marriage. Yeah, we just haven't gotten divorced because we're roommates and we just we're a little lazy and we sort of use it for taxes and, but I mean, so I'm married, but I date people and everything. And my show, Hello Cougar, on that show, I hook up with people for that show. That show is, I'm 49 and I put an ad on Craigslist and I meet guys who are between 18 and 30. I meet, way younger guys. And I interview them because it's funny because, young, horny guys just say funny shit. And then I have sex with them. So I interview them before after I have sex with them. Yeah, safe sex, and the guys are cool. Yeah. It's not like a fake show. There's a lot of fake shows where they have some girl go up to a guy on the street and say, "Do you want to have sex?" And the guy's like, "Sure." And then she's not really good. But no, this is... A lot of the guys think they're going to get punked, and then I'm like, no, it's real, So
actually,
I meet a guy,
Hello Cougar, we can actually watch a gorgeous Sally Mullins. So you must edit it. You're not actually showing people you having sex.
Correct. It's not. No, it doesn't show the sex.
Okay.
It just shows the interview before and after. I'm not trying to, get young dudes into porn. I'm just trying to, sort of examine the phenomenon of the age difference situation.
I was going to watch you have sex on TV, Sally. I would never leave the house again. Thank God.
You would get so sick of it. I mean, it's not always the most photogenic thing, I'm sure. But the interviews are hysterical, and we do talk about, sometimes I think it's hotter just watching the interviews, but I know men are visual, I know men are visual. And if it was going to be like a show on Playboy, of course they'd want to see the sex. And I'd love to do the show. I'd love to take it to, an adult network or something. But the fact that Drome does that show, you can tell that they have a lot of cool stuff going on there.
Yeah, it is cool. And
we
so you're getting plenty of sex then. So Mike Boyle cannot go out there and try his charms on her. Because first of all, I'm 51.
Ages 18 to 30. Yeah, ages 18 to 30. Sometimes a guy will sneak in who's 32 or something. But, I do have guys who are my age hitting me up for the show. But then they always have, they go, "Well, why didn't you have an older guy?" Then they'll go, "Oh, and I'm married. Oh, could you blur my face or something?" And I'm like, no, it's not about that, Or even younger guys. Younger guys will go, "Oh, I have a job and I can't." It's not about trying to hide your identity and be on the DL. It's about going on a show saying, "Yeah, I'm a younger dude and I've always wanted to have sex with an older woman. And I took this chance. I did it." Because the younger generation, the millennials, they're on their phones a lot. They need to get off their phones and participate in life, and this is a way to do it. And so it's showing some really cool young dudes who, like, go for it, you know?
Are they any good in bed? Like, because I don't know if I was good in bed when I was 20. Like, I don't – maybe I was. I think I'm really good in bed now because I have to make up for the fact that my dick is not what it used to be. So I think – and I think I learned to be nicer, and I think I'm a lot better in bed because of that. I think when you're young, you just bang away. I mean – But,
some of the guys don't get it. Yeah, some of the guys don't get it. They think they just fuck with their dick. But I've had some, like, amazing lays on there. You know, I've had some guys really good with their hands. Yeah.
Whoa. Oh, wow.
Really young dudes, you know, like 23, 24. But, yeah, there are some guys who are just fucking clueless. And to be honest, I'm not really on there to teach them. I'm on there to give them an experience and maybe some direction, but I'm not into giving some guy a critique and being like, well, try this, you know, try that. I just try to find the positive in everyone on there. It's not a mean-spirited show. I'm sure that the guys who are watching it at home, they can be like, check out this dude, you know, and laughing, but I'm not on the show criticizing the guys or talking any kind of shit. I really appreciate that they trusted me enough to be on the show and come out to my house. It could be a total scam, you know?
Yeah, well, let me tell you. No, Sally, I'm going to tell you, I am, like, I love women. I really do. Like, and so, like, a pretty woman to me is like a work of art. And I thought, you know, I never knew that you did that kind of thing until, like, I guess I saw you on Twitter a couple. I didn't go on Twitter for like 5 years. I don't know why. And I'm not a big Twitter guy anymore. And like when I came back to Florida, which I had to do for my kids. My kids were in Florida, and I just said, that's it. I got to go back to Florida. And that was it. I left New York and came back. And so, you know, I took an extended hiatus from everything and just took care of my kids for 2 years. Because there were two teenage boys, and I felt like I had to be dad, you know? So, you know, it was like Twitter wasn't a thing for me for a while. So I really didn't – the only thing, you know, whatever. Okay. But then I saw you on Twitter a couple weeks ago, and I went, oh, my God, but I always thought you were beautiful. So I say to myself, like, I'm sort of glad you weren't on Facebook, because then I would have been, like, you know, enamored by you all this time. And so I'm glad I had to reach out. You know, but when I saw you out in L.A., I mean, so you got these guys, and you're thanking them, but they're fucking lucky they got to have sex with you. They must have been like, holy shit.
Right? A lot of them are really appreciative. Yeah, a lot of them are super appreciative, and it's hard for guys to get laid, you know? I mean, like, people want stuff. Like, women want stuff, understandably. I mean, women aren't raised to give pussy away, you know? They're not encouraged or raised to give pussy away. Yeah. But I like to have fun and see where it leads. And I like to have sex with people early and see if there's anything there, you know? I mean, there's other ways to do it. I know that if you really kind of let someone romance you, that can also have a deep bond. But, you know, it's also fun to, like, experience someone who you really don't know, you know? Like, that's exciting, too. Like, strangers are exciting.
No, I'm like I'm like you. I like
There's
to have
nobody
sex
stranger
right
than Mike Boyle.
No, I like to have sex right away too. I don't like to work too hard for it because by the time you have to fucking jump over through all these hoops and shit, you're like, fuck it, stick it up your ass. You know what I mean?
That's how
ruined.
I would be. Yeah, that's
like,
how I would be too.
It. Yeah, like I don't even want it no more. And I'm gonna tell you, I honestly. Like, a lot of women think that, like, if they give it to you too quick, you're going to not respect them. I fucking love people that give me sex. Like, as soon as you have sex with me, I love you that much more. You know,
You should respect me more. Yeah, you should respect me more. Look, here's the deal. If some guy has got that Madonna whore shit in his head, and if he's going to, like, judge somebody and, you know, then I don't want that guy. Then I'm well rid of that guy. And, you know, they always end up bugging you again. You know, any guy who's like, whoa, pull back, I can't handle it, they'll always end up bugging you again. They'll come back around. When you get to my age and you've been single, like, pretty much your – I mean, I haven't had, like, a serious boyfriend since MySpace. you know? I mean, when you've been, you know what's up, you know the trends. I'm not saying I'm jaded, but I also don't get too freaked out. I don't get too freaked out anymore, you know?
Yeah. No,
I'm not
no,
like,
no.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I think there's something too about being a comedian and just being, you know, free and open and being able to say whatever the fuck you want. Because I'll just look at a girl and just say, are we doing it or well, fuck it, let's go. You know, and I think a lot of people are just not able to say, like, I constantly have to tell my other guy friends how to talk to women, like, constantly. You know what I mean? Like, they just don't know how to open their mouths. And so, you know, they just go, how do you do it? How do you? And I think something like, you know, like me and you are comedians, Sally. So we know how to just talk. You have to talk. Communication
yeah.
is the first part to having sex, right? If you can't talk to somebody, you can't have sex with them. But, you know, so if you can talk and you can make somebody laugh, I think you're halfway there. But, no. And then, of course, you have to respect the other sex, which I think a lot of guys are insane. They think if a woman has sex, she's a whore, which I never thought that way. Like, if I like to have sex and I'm having sex with a woman, how could I say anything bad about her? I'm doing the same thing she's doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
I mean, it's double standard bullshit. And, you know, there's a lot of just BS and judgment. And, I mean, if there's one thing that we have right now, we have a dude in the White House who said grab him by the pussy. So people really have to knock off this, this person's a whore, so they can't do this or that. Really, yeah. I mean, really a female porn star should be allowed to hold a public office now, or like a stripper or something. I mean, if
yeah.
there's one thing, like, I don't know, I did not vote for Trump. Fuck no, you know, no offense to anyone's politics. But if there's one thing we might get out of it, it's that maybe people will chill out about sex a little bit, you know?
Yeah, in Italy they had a female porn star. Ciccolino
yeah.
was her name.
Yeah, no, they've yeah.
yeah,
other countries. And I mean, if you had somebody who's you know, like mentioning sexual assault, and then they can like get to a certain level, then I just think a lot of judgment against women has to go out the window. You know, like this person mm-hmm. likes to fuck around. So, you know, I think because I, you know, I've done like a lot of fetish videos. You know, I've done porn. And I, like a couple years ago, I did a big commercial, and then the company found out that I also did fetish videos, and they totally freaked out, you know. The company was like, oh my God, this woman, you know, it was an air conditioning commercial. So I think there's a lot of double standard, but you know, I think if there was a guy, I think if some guy did porn, he would be allowed to cross over just like that into mainstream society.
So what porn did you do? You're talking about the drone box shit.
Well, I don't consider drone porn at all. It's just like a sex talk show. It doesn't show any sex or nudity. But I've done a lot of like fetish, like spanking, you know, a lot of, like solo nudie stuff. I mean, like that's part of how I pay my bills. Like I stay in shape and I'm not like on a soapbox like repping older women in porn. I'm not saying that's like a cause, but I do think it's cool to sort of, you know, be like almost 50 and go, I want to do this, so I'm going to do this. You know, I'm going to like stay in shape and put myself out there. And so, hey, maybe if some other chicks have this thing in their mind where they're like an exhibitionist and they want to do porn, maybe they can see ways to do it through me, you know? I don't like to
Absolutely.
Hide it anymore. I don't talk about it on stage. I don't go on stage at the Comedy Store and say, I do porn. But I don't deny it, you know, put it that way. And when you're older, huh?
That's awesome, though. I wish I could do porn, Mark.
Well, you should make anyone – look, anyone can do porn. Anyone can do porn. You just produce your own porn. You just go on Pornhub. I mean, I produce my own porn and I get hired by companies, but I started out just by producing my own stuff.
Right. You have a reel? I got to get a reel together. That's what they tell me.
A porn reel? Yeah, you can
do
that.
No, regular reel. A porn reel. No, I would never do a porn
So if I go on Pornhub and look for Sally Mullins, I'm going to find your
No, you won't find that. You will not find that. No, right. I don't put it out. Yeah, it's not under my own name. It's not under the my family name. No, no. You'd find it if you really look. Honestly, I will probably just tell you privately. And it's not worth, like, the way I say it to people, because some comedians will go, hey, I've heard you do porn. Why don't you tell me how I can find your porn? I'm like, you gotta earn it. And if you find it, then you earned it, you know?
So, listen, I may not even want to know, Sally, because I'd be, like, stuck in front of the computer for, like, days. Because I really
Kids. You have a life. You don't really have time for this bullshit.
I just really think you're very special. And listen, we could turn on the internet and see all kinds of stuff. But no, and I really do think you're very beautiful. I'll tell you, and you would not believe the impact you had on me, because I remember things in the little tiny comedy career that I had. And I may reattempt to get back out there. And now that I'm doing the cartoon, I start doing the radio show again. And people seem to be interested, which is good. And that's awesome. Now that my kids are 18, like my oldest turned 18 last week. And so I'm almost at the point where I could leave here if I want. And one possibility is I might go to Los Angeles for a little while. So because I'm friends with a producer who likes some stuff that I do, and he's like, he was actually a guest on our show a few weeks ago, and he's worked with some really big name comedy people. So if you go back to my archives on Block Talk Radio and you look him up, his name is Paul Block. He's worked with so many big
oh, cool.
Big,
what's
yeah,
his name?
Paul Block.
And
he's worked with like everybody. He's worked with Richard Pryor, with naming these people. But
Jerry Colonna.
What are you talking about, Jerry Pavona?
You know who he was, Jerry Colonna?
Shut up. He worked with you know, Mark, you're throwing my rhythm off like you usually do.
Right.
He worked with Don Rickles. He worked with all kinds of people. Richard Jenny, he did specials for Jeff Foxworthy. We're talking multi-million-dollar people. And I talked to him the other night on the phone, and I told him I loved him. He goes, you don't have to love me, Mike. I said, I love you. I said, you know, I did nothing in this business. I'm a nobody. And the fact that you talk to me, like, amazes me. But he likes me, and he likes the stuff I say. He likes the things I write. And he said to me, he goes, I know you want to go to New York because you know everybody there. He goes, but you have friends in Los Angeles. Go there. Get a little acting thing and write. And you write well, and you do this, and you do that, and go to Los Angeles. So it would be harder for me to go to L.A., Sally, because I don't really have people there. But
yeah,
I might go to L.A.
Some
for
of us.
I don't know. Uh-huh.
You know people, you know some of us. I mean, it's great. Like, you know me, the Comedy Store there. I mean, I guess there are more clubs in New York, but a lot of people I know, they hit a bunch of clubs here. They hit a bunch of spots per night.
Yeah. I'm a little bit, like, because I was thinking, like, if I went to New York, it would be a no-brainer. You know, I mean, I'd be able to get on stage every night, and I have people in Jersey, and it would be so easy to come back and forth to Florida. L.A. is just so far away, and you know, but he got me really thinking. He's like, Mike, you go out there, you get an acting class, you get an agent, and you
do
know,
New York
that's what you got to do. So now I don't know. So I don't know what to do. But anyway, I just got to, if I'm gonna do anything, I got to get out of Jacksonville because there's nothing going on here. Not a bad place.
Oh, right.
That's
for sure.
There's nothing going on
here. Yeah.
But, it's, you know, you can
flip a coin. Isn't Atlanta really good for movies right now?
Atlanta's like number four in production now. It's L.A., New York, Chicago, and Atlanta. That's the pecking order.
Wow.
But anyway, Sally, I was saying in my little career, you were a big part of it because – I was so happy to be out in L.A., and the first thing I did when I got there, Mark, was Sally's very good friends with Bobby Oliver, who's another very good comedian. Remember, Bobby was on our show when we used to do the show before we stopped.
Correct.
Bobby, very smart, funny lady. And the first thing I did when I got there was took Bobby's nail polish off her toes. I don't know if I've ever told
him. Oh, my.
Yeah, she was sitting there, and she was trying to get her nail polish off. I'm like, I'll do that for you. And she's like, go ahead. And I'm just, there's like five other comedians sitting there. And they're like, who's this nutcase getting Bobby's nail polish off? And then Sally brought me up on the stage. And there was another comedian there from Florida who had just moved out there. And he was there with me that night, Brad, who I didn't know what you were into at the time, but you probably wanted him because he was like 25. And he came with a CD that night. Good looking kid, Brad. And he was very excited by my set. I didn't love my set tonight. I thought I dragged in the middle a little bit. But it was okay. And then I didn't want to bother you guys, and I left. But you were very nice, and you were very supportive.
Your set has to drag in. Sometimes it has to drag in the middle sometimes, you know? That's a set. it has to start off strong and end strong.
And then one other thing I did wrong, Mark, was I didn't see my light for about maybe 30 seconds. I probably stood up there about 30 seconds too long.
They got a new light now, and that Bob Warnick in the comic strip found. The friggin' thing is like a black op helicopter coming at you. The thing like flashes different colors, so you can't miss this light. I think it's going to be taking over all the comedy shows now.
So, Sally, you'll ever come to New York and perform? Like, we could get you on stage anywhere in New York. Between me and Mark, you know,
I'm based here.
Did you ever take your trip out there?
I have not been to New York for 23 years.
Wow.
I liked it when I was 19 or 17. I went with my dad, and then I went again when I was 26. And I haven't been for so long, and I've never done comedy out there. I mean, maybe I will. It's probably just since doing comedy in L.A., you know, I haven't had money to travel. Like, the two last times I've gotten to travel were entertaining the troops for comedy overseas.
Oh, really? That's an interesting story.
Oh, totally cool. I traveled in 2014 and 2015 all over the world.
Where'd you go?
Troops. Well, the first year was really cool. It was started in Greenland, and then it went to Guantanamo Bay and all around Central America, Puerto Rico. And then the next year was Europe, you know, Holland, Germany, England, Brussels, closed in Brussels. Oh, we went to Kosovo, too, Camp Bondsteel in Kosovo.
So that was
very
dangerous.
Well, Brussels, we went before that big, horrible airport bombing. Yeah, we were there before that. But it was very high security when we were there, coming off the Paris attacks, yeah. But, it was really, really pretty, though. I got really loaded in Brussels. I got super drunk. It was fun.
Let me say this to you. I think that you're a tremendously gifted woman. I remember you were so funny, and I'm not just kidding. You're very beautiful, and especially for a 50-year-old, but I think, you know, I'm 51 and I know I'm gorgeous, so I think you and I have a lot in common. Although I know now you'll never sleep with me because you're only into 30 or younger, but okay.
No, I'm into like 35, 36, really. Seriously. You know what it is like most guys my age, they sort of, you know, they chase younger chicks, and I sort of started being like, what's it to that? But I really, like, I don't really want to date, like, an 18. Like, my show, I've sort of OD'd on cubs, you know. The
That's what they're
sort
called,
of,
18-year-olds?
Yeah. Yeah, like, the guys who want to hook up with the older women, it's the cougars and cubs, yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, I've had dudes whose moms are, like, 10 years younger than me, you know?
I can see that. Well, you know, I mean, I'm in a whole other realm my age, so I shouldn't even, you know, you don't want to know how old I am.
How old are you?
I thought you'd never ask. I'm 67. 67.
That is no big deal to me because I'm open to all ages. And, I mean, here I am. And, I mean, I've had sex with, like, 19-year-olds for my show. That's a 30-year age gap. So, yeah, 67, that's, you know, it's true what everyone says. 67's like the new 55 or something, the way it is now.
Mm-hmm.
With medical advances. And, I mean, just things have changed, you know. Like, it's so weird that I'm a generation, I mean, my parents are, you know, I'm a generation apart from my parents. But, like, sex changed so much in that one generation.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And you're, like, between us. I mean, so it's just.
How old are your parents?
So they're, like, late 70s.
All right.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm almost 50.
Well,
yeah,
you're
they're
50.
10 years older
yeah,
than
so
you.
That's a, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, I'm 49. But I just figured you were like, you just come off like I figured you're in your 50s, you know? I just figured
well,
the way you sounded on the phone.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
For what it's worth. Like, but, I mean, a lot of people are like, whoa, you look so young. And I think I just look like the best I can look, you know? I think that people in L.A., they equate young with good. So I'm always like, I think I look 49. I just look like I work out and eat right, you know? But I still think I look 49. It's just anyone.
I'm laughing
because
I don't do either one of those.
Well,
hi, Mark,
fuck it. You know what? It's up to you, man. Nobody has to. It doesn't mean, and you can be running and get hit by a bus. You know, it doesn't. This whole health thing. I mean, that's just a lot of it's genetic. So. As far as your health, I mean, people could be, like, majorly, majorly, majorly overweight and live to 105. I truly
That's
believe
true.
That. And eat crap every day or even do hard drugs. So I'm just, like, trying to get the best out of my life. That's all. I'm not putting
Mike,
that shit on anyone else.
Mike, did you see the post, speaking of food, the post I put on Facebook, the sandwich, the famous Mike Boyle sandwich?
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't see that.
No, you can't see it. Mike invented, you know, Mike is a very clever guy, very creative guy. He invented a special kind of hero roast beef sandwich that sounds very like, well, it's just like nobody thought about it before. It's roast beef, provolone cheese.
No cheese. You're fucked up.
Oh, all right. But it's roast beef, sweet peppers, lettuce, and tomato.
No.
With oil and vinegar.
Completely fucked up. It's roast beef, lettuce, tomato, onion, mayo, oil, and vinegar, and hot peppers.
I forgot the
right?
onion. All right, I forgot
that
the
sounds
onion.
Good. I love
it's
mayonnaise.
Really good. Yeah, on a baguette. Now, I lost a lot of weight, sweetheart, because, you know, I didn't give a shit. Like, after my third divorce, I was like, fuck everybody. I like to eat, and I don't give a shit how fat I get. Because fuck it. And for me, getting that fat again was like a kind of like a wall. Because, you know, when you get that fat, it's hard to get laid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
really is. It's hard enough anyway for guys. It's hard enough for guys with a six pack to get laid. So.
Yeah, well, it's really hard.
Not if you have money.
Well, it's really hard to get laid. So, but, you know, the truth of the matter is that you know, it's kind of like. You know, I was married three times, right? And after the third one, I was done. I was like, fuck this, I'm done. So one thing I really like to do is eat. I mean, I fucking love eating. So I was like, I don't care. I don't give a fuck what anybody thinks. Nobody pays my bills. So, you know, I gained a lot of weight, you know? The problem is, talking about health, I got like massively diabetic, you know what I mean? So, I don't want to. Yeah, I got two kids. So, you know, I lost like 70 pounds. You know, I had to. You know what I mean? So my eating habits are completely different now. You know, and I had to deal with it because I was sick. So, you know, I lost a lot of weight. So, now I wouldn't say I'm thin, but, you know, like that giant bloat that I had is gone. You know what I'm saying? The problem
is
when
then it, if, yeah.
No, go ahead, sweetheart. What were you going
to
say?
No, I'm saying if it was, you know, if it was doing that to your health, then yeah, it wasn't working
for you.
And you had to change.
Well, it's one thing I didn't think about. You know what I mean? Like, I thought, like, I don't care. Fuck it. Then next thing you know, a couple years later, you get a little blister on your foot and it won't heal. You know what I mean? Because your shit's too high. And you're like, you know what I mean? So it's like, wait, hold on. You know what I mean? I can't do, you know. So I had to lose some weight, and so I did. But now I'm like, I'm almost like a male anorexic. You know, I don't really eat. But like once every couple of days, my friends own a deli in St. Augustine, and they make, and I came up with this roast beef sandwich there, and it's awesome. But when I have that sandwich, that's all I eat for the day is that one sandwich. And it's on those little baguette bread, and it's awesome. And so I put a picture of it on Facebook. So Mark keeps teasing me about my roast beef sandwich. But, I mean, it's amazing how little I eat now, Sally, compared to what I used to eat. I used to eat a machine. But
you were eating your feelings, as they say, and all that crap, and it happens. But, you know, what I really got into a couple of years ago was the whole 30 and paleo. And because of that, I can eat a lot. I always have eaten more than, like, the guys I go out with, certainly way more than any of my female friends, even the ones who have weight problems. I always eat more than them. But it's what I eat, and I really love, like, the Whole 30 is amazing. You cut out the sugar. I never really could process dairy, and you're also cutting out the bread and a lot of the, you know, anything processed. You're eating not raw stuff, but just whole stuff, and you are eating a lot of meat. You got to watch your cholesterol, but you can also take, like, grapeseed extract. It keeps it lower, and I mean, if I were looking to lose a lot of weight, I would definitely do the Whole 30. But as it is, I just do, like, you know, basic paleo, and sometimes I fall off the wagon.
Right. Well, you know, you can't deny everything all the time.
People don't understand.
It's not even a diet. I eat a lot.
People don't understand how bad that sugar is for you, and it is bad. It's poison.
Sugar's the fucking devil. Soda's the devil. Diet sodas are full of chemicals. And if you start drinking, like, a lot of Red Bulls and stuff, black coffee's fine. But if you start getting into a lot of, like, the power drinks, and you'll fuck yourself up with that, too.
Sally,
like, I like muscle milk, but you have to watch it.
I haven't even had a Diet Coke since last November.
That's good. They're bad.
The only thing I drink, the only liquid that passes my lips now is water. That's it. Crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, Mark.
Almond milk, water,
you know what I found
black
to be
coffee.
Great? I'm sorry.
What?
You know, so you see people drinking that Red Bull. One of my doctors, the type of doctor will come to me, but she had me take, I have it now, 2,500 milligrams of B12 twice a day.
Niacin?
B12. Just B12,
mm-hmm.
And niacin is a little different, I think, but it's B12. You can buy it over the counter, of course, and you just put it under the tongue. It's the fast dissolving B12, and you have to get the special kind that will dissolve quickly in your mouth. You put it under your tongue, and about a half hour later, if you're a little sleepy, a little tired, it brings you up better than coffee does, and it's a better kind of refreshment than coffee, because you don't get jitters, and it's great.
Oh, that's awesome.
B12, the subdural, I think it's called, or the sublumin, something.
Oh, you're sublingual, yeah, I've heard of it.
Yeah, it says, you know, fast dissolving. That's the kind you take, and it's really helped me. Like, I do comedy, not at the level you do, but I do comedy, and I do, like, a half hour before my set, approximately, because you never know for sure, I put it under my tongue, and by the time it's time for me to go up there, I'm energized. So it really helps, and it's helpful.
I shut his mic off because he just doesn't shut the fuck up. So I'll just let him talk. So, Sally, I love you. I'm so glad that you came on tonight. And I want to tell you that if you ever want to go to New York, I want you to tell me, and I will meet you there. And I will get you on stage wherever you want to go. I know everybody
there.
And
cool.
Yes, just let me know if you ever want to take a ride out or a flight out there. And Marco, believe it or not, that fucker, that I just shut his mic for a minute. He knows a lot of people there too. So if you ever want to go, we'll definitely hook you up with some stage time, some good places.
I appreciate it. That's cool.
Matter of fact, last week our guest on the show was Al Martin. He owns the Broadway and he owns the Greenwich Village Comedy Club, and he was on last week. He had a great time. So we know a lot of nice people in the city that own clubs and stuff. So if you ever want to get to the city, let us know, because you are a very, very talented woman. And I want people to check out your Twitter. Are you looking for followers on Twitter?
Sure.
And Instagram. Dolly Mullins.
Yeah.
We don't want to say
818. Instagram.
And Instagram. And what is Sally Mullins one? What is he?
One.
Sorry. It's Sally Mullins one on Twitter.
Yeah, that's my Twitter.
And you twisted your ankle tonight. I feel bad.
Oh, it's okay. No, it got better. Like, I just had to walk it off and get it warmed up, and then I finished my run. I don't even know how I tweaked it. I wouldn't even say I twisted it. I just said I tweaked it. But I'm going to go home now. I'm going to take a shower. I'm going to do a webcam show for some naughty men, and I'm going to go to bed early, because I know what you mean, man. We're 50-plus. We're in the 50-plus. Well, I'm 29, but, you know, I'm fine with it, but it you do get tireder, you know. You do get a little sleepier here and there.
All right, just email me a screenshot, at least, of your webcam show.
Oh,
I don't
hell
think
yes. Look, I have no problem, like, DMing you, and I'll tell you what my porn name is. It's just like, I don't want to scream it out there. And there's also a lot of people who maybe like me as a comedian that don't really want to know, you know. They get like, so I get it.
Not very discreet, but I honestly did have a crush on you all these years.
Aww.
Every time I came across my video and saw you, I was like, man, that woman is so beautiful. I really thought
That's
you were beautiful.
That's cool of you.
No,
some people, like, really don't like my looks, but some people do. Thank you. I like them. I don't ever see what the problem was.
No, I thought you were beautiful and kind, and kindness means a lot to me as much as beauty, and I thought that you were a perfect combination, a beautiful, talented, kind, and just my kind of woman, and I wish you every happiness and success. And
oh,
I really
cool.
do
Thank
love you.
You.
I don't know if you believe that from somebody you don't really know, but I love
I
you.
Believe
so
it.
I'm so happy that we got to talk tonight.
I totally believe it. Thanks for having me. You guys are both really cool. And if there's any comedian that you if I find anyone who I think will be good for your show, I'll definitely tell them to bug you.
For sure. And tell Bobby I say hi.
Oh, I will. I'll tell her. I need to catch up with her, so she'll be hearing from me on that.
All right, sweetheart. Love you.
All
Thank
right,
you so
guys.
Much.
Take it easy.
Dolly Mullins, everybody.
Have a good night. All right, love you both.
Take
good night.
Take
care. Bye.
Take
care,
you guys. Bye.
Bye-bye.
So she's awesome, wasn't she?
She was great.
Yeah.
Very good
very
good
nice
guest.
Girl. Very beautiful.
She talked very nicely. It was a very nice conversation, unlike some guests that we've had. I won't mention names, but, like, you know, it's like pulling teeth to have a conversation with them. They're supposed to be in show business, some of these people, and they only have monosyllabic answers. She was very good.
You're very, very sweet. Very sweet. Very. I'm telling you, she means a lot to me. I mean, that
right.
You know, when you're out in L.A. and you're, you know, and you're doing some comedy thing out there, and you don't really know a ton of people, and you're just, like, doing your thing, and next thing you know, she was a big deal out there. Dude, she was on stage every night at the Comic Strip, Comedy Store.
You're getting your cities mixed up.
Yeah, she was out there every night on stage at the Comedy Store or the Ice House, and you know, she was nice to me. You know what I mean? So,
well, that's
you know,
important.
I'm
you know,
with her.
I mean, there are those people. There are those people who are just genuinely nice, and they don't have an axe to grind, and they'll help people, and so on and so forth. And she seems, I guess, she's one of them. Did you know about her? Because I had no idea. that she did that kind of sex podcast.
No, I mean, I saw a little bit.
Oh, so you knew.
No, I've been researching her the last few
days,
knowing she was coming on. I saw her, you know, kind of in some sort of suggestive, you know, but not anything pornographic, you know what I mean? So that word kind of got to me a little bit. But no, I think she's maybe just saying pornographic, but she is very, I just, like I say,
I like the fact that she interviews the guy and then she bangs the guy and then she comes back on with the guy the next week and talks about what happened. I like that. That's brilliant. I'm surprised it's not like a bigger hit.
Yeah, well, you know, I think it's very cool. I think she's very cool. Anything she does is okay with me. And I think she's a very honest and open woman, you know, and I think so many women use, you know, there's so much in the news right now about sexual abuse and sexual, you know, and of course nobody wants to see women abused and, you know, whatever. But, you know, people don't, you know, and I think everybody's afraid to say it, but there's a lot of fucking sexual abuse toward men. You know, women use their charms, let's say, on men. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I love you. Okay, here's a little pussy. Now I'm going to fucking destroy your life. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, you know, I mean.
And I think that's abusive in and of itself. You know what I mean?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, and believe me, it's happened to me many times. You know what I'm saying? You know.
There's newsflash. The Senate narrowly passed the 2018 budget, paving way for tax reform. They got a couple of Democrats, I think, and most of the Republicans, so they passed. Well, it's got to go to the House, and they're going to try and figure out something with tax reform.
All right. Well, we need tax reform. No? I mean, do
probably.
You like...
Yeah, most likely. Most likely.
I mean...
Just as long as they spread it out to, you know, below not only for millionaires, then it'd be all right. Or billionaires or whatever, but you know what I mean. It's got to help the middle class. That's the important part of the country, because the middle class is shrinking. You have to help the middle class, because the middle class is what keeps everything afloat. It's not the rich, and certainly not the poor. The middle class is what keeps everything moving. So they got to help people like that. Dead silence.
Well, let me just say this. I just had a really good time talking to a really good woman. And, you know, thank God for people like her. Very, very pleasant, beautiful girl. Just very, very pleasant. So I think that'll do it for me tonight, dude. I got to write another episode.
It's been a pleasure. Let's put in a plug for the radio again. I'm getting confused. For the cartoon show. You can find the Rotten Apple cartoons on the Rotten Apple page or channel on YouTube. Just go to Rotten Apple on YouTube. But you have to look for, ladies and gentlemen, there are a bunch of different Rotten Apple things. The Mike Boyle Rotten Apple is the one which has the little worm coming out of the apple. That's how you know it's our or Mike's or partially a little bit mine. The Rotten Apple Show.
You'd say ours. You're part of the team, brother. You're part of the team.
Thank you. Thank you. That's how you do it, because I was looking for it, and then I didn't notice, and then I found, oh, there it is. People don't know that it's necessarily when they look for it. You got to look for the apple with the worm coming out of it. You know, that's how you know it's the show, and you can pop right into it that way. You subscribe to it, and every time there's a new episode, and there are lots of new episodes, believe me, we both know that. You're going to get notified. Boom! You're going to see on YouTube. It's a little thing's going to light up, and you know there's a new Rotten Apple episode. So we want that, and I want to thank KGB. Wait a minute, he's here right now. KGB, come out and speak. We're not allowed to. KGB, come here. Hello, let me talk to you. I will tell you now. This show, I have produced many shows on the cable and on the YouTube channel. There is nothing like the Rotten Apple. The first time I see the Mike Boyle perform on stage or listen to podcast with crazy friend Helfgott on, who does crazy voices, I say, this will be a great cartoon. Forget The Simpsons. Forget Moon Mullins. Forget all of these people. The Rotten Apple Show will be fantastic, the number one. That is all. I must go now and destroy the Kurds. There he goes.
Well, that's awesome.
Thank you, KGB. That's it, I guess.
So,
say something.
So hold on a minute. I'm responding to a wonderful review I got from a disabled vet that I just helped buy a house. So that's awesome.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I remember I heard the phone call today. We were talking and you were talking. I overheard you talking to the lady who presently owns the house, and I heard you talking about it. Yes.
No, that was the neighbor.
Oh, I get it. Okay. Well, that's great because disabled veterans, one thing they get, and, you know, all veterans get it. My father, we bought our little Shangri-La in Pearl River, New York in 1960 because my father was a World War II veteran, or he was just a veteran of the Army, and he got, you know, he got a veteran's mortgage, which, like, at the time, the interest was, like, zero. You know, they gave him the money, and he paid it back over 30 years, and I think it was, like, a 2% interest over 30 years. And, you know, so this is good that the veterans get, at least they get something, because sometimes they get fucked over. At least they can get that.
Now, let me tell you something. The VA loan that he got,
right,
you know, was awesome. I mean, it was an awesome benefit that they get, and they deserve it.
Nice.
Especially this guy, a disabled vet, young guy.
Do the disabled vets get an even better mortgage or loan than the vets who are not disabled?
No, but in Florida, I don't know how it is in every state, but in Florida, once he becomes a Florida resident, which happens fairly quickly after he moves here,
right,
he no longer has to pay his property taxes.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, which, you know, we don't
property
have...
Property taxes can kill you.
Well, not in Florida. We don't have crazy property taxes to begin with.
Here,
but still,
it's ridiculous.
Yeah, but still, that is a great benefit. You know what
right.
I mean?
You know, you're talking about property taxes. My sister who you met, she has a friend who lives in Rockland County where we used to live. She's also, like I was, she's a teacher. She's getting ready to retire. Her friggin' property tax is like $20,000 a year.
Yeah.
$20,000.
Some of those places up there are just insane.
I mean, it's a beautiful little town and everything is beautiful. But, you know, the streets are clean and everything. And the school system, which is where most of the money goes, is a great system. She works there, but she's going to move to, I think, North Carolina when she retires because she doesn't want to pay that kind of money. In the city, though, the interesting thing about Manhattan, even though the apartments are so expensive, the property taxes are pretty inexpensive, believe it or not, compared to the suburbs. But we don't want to turn this into a real estate show, do we?
No, but let me tell you what happened with this dude. He called me up, and he goes, look, you know, we have to talk about his finances, because you do that when you're a realtor. You have to get a budget.
Right.
I mean, you have to know what to look for
right.
for people. And he was really stretching his budget a little bit based on what he could, you know, theoretically do, you know what I mean? And I was like, you know what, man? I don't understand, like, why you're stretching it. You know, like, we could get you in something, a little less strenuous on your pocketbook, you know? And he was like, look, he goes, you know what? I'm a disabled guy. I'm a disabled vet. And I can't really do a lot for my kids. And I want them to have, all the stuff. I want them to have the pools and the amenities and you know, the this and the that. And I was like, you know what? I hear you. And, it wasn't easy, but we got it done. And he's got a beautiful house.
That's great. You know, that's really good.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm thinking about right now?
Go eat. You know, go eat. Get the fuck out.
The Mike Boyle hero. Almost Mike Boyle hero, that is.
All right. Go enjoy. Goodbye, everybody. See you next week.
No, you don't have to stop because I want to eat. I'm not that hungry.
No, I am stopping. I got shit to do, brother. I got to write an episode.
All right, great show. Thank you to Sue Mullins. And next week, our guest is...
Sally Mullins.
Thank you, Sally Mullins. And next week, our guest is... Matt Kazan, right. All right. I want to thank you for all your help and helping me out and giving me the chance to do voiceovers and voices on the cartoon. It was a major step in my life. I appreciate it. And now I'm going to eat a sandwich named after you. So you do have
Go
influence
enjoy.
In this world.
I'll see you
Good
later.
Night, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody. Thank you.